Well, if you would open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, as we continue to make our way through the Ten Commandments. We need to move a little quicker because Sean is starting to catch up with us. So we need to move a little quicker through the book of Exodus, as we have already covered everything from about chapters 25 on, and then Sean has been covering everything from chapter 1 up to roughly where we are, having covered chapter 16 last week. So we are closing in on the end of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, reading there in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for these particular words that you have given us to study tonight. We pray that you would drive them deep into our hearts, that you would apply them to us, that you would show them how they relate to all of us, each and every one of us, and how it is that you are calling us to honor those authorities that you have placed over us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the preaching of your word tonight, that by your Spirit you would change and transform us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As we looked at the fourth commandment a couple weeks ago, I pointed out that it's often overlooked that one simple reason why we have to follow the law of God is because it's God's law. God said so. That's why we have to follow it. We come up with all sorts of other reasons to follow the Ten Commandments. Some of these Ten Commandments even give their own reasons. And yet, when it really boils down to it, that is the fundamental reason that we're supposed to obey, because God said so. Of course, with the fourth commandment that we looked at last time, honoring the Sabbath day, we were given a very well thought out reason why we need to follow that day. Human beings are made to work, but human beings need rest. And so God rested to institute and encapsulate that idea of rest into the very fabric of creation, resting so as to set apart a day of rest for us, a day when we could fellowship with Him. This evening, we're also given a reason here in the fifth commandment as to why we need to obey, honor your father and your mother. And there is a reason given here that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And yet again, we would be remiss if we didn't point out that even while your father and mother may say that you have to obey, at the end of the day, we still obey because God said so. God said to obey. Which means from the very outset of this commandment, we have an issue of delegated authority. The reminder that parents are in a position of authority, not because of skill, not because they are more gifted, not because they are wiser, although in some cases these may certainly be true, but they are in authority because God has put them in authority. God has placed them in charge. If you become wiser and smarter and more gifted than your parents, you still have to honor them. You still have to honor them because God made them the authority over us. God is the one who said that you must honor them. And so by honoring them, you are honoring God as well as obeying that commandment. And likewise, when we dishonor our parents, perhaps through disobedience, we are also disobeying and dishonoring God. It's important to remember because in some cases the temptation is not to respect or not to honor our parents because they aren't very honorable. They may make bad decisions. Some parents place their children into positions that make them vulnerable and unsafe, situations that we certainly don't understand. Our parents are just as fallen, just as sinful as we are, and it can be tempting in those times of their failure to think that we no longer have to honor them, that somehow we're off the hook, that we don't have to honor them. Many high school and college students and people in their early 20s wrestle with this temptation as they come to the realization that their parents are not perfect. And yet you'll notice that there is no qualification here in this commandment, no requirements that must be fulfilled by parents before they can be honored. All parents, no matter how dishonorable they may be, must be honored by God because He has put them into that position of authority. Several years ago, when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, he visited Green Bay, Wisconsin. And at the time, there was a very outspoken Christian who was playing for the Green Bay Packers, the NFL football team. His name was Reggie White. Reggie White was also an ordained minister. President Clinton, of course, wanted to visit the legendary Lambeau Field where the Packers play, which he did. But there were several people in Green Bay that were very upset that the person who gave President Clinton the tour was none other than Reggie White. They were furious. They said, "Reggie, how could you, yes, you're a Packer player, but you're an ordained minister, how could you, such a man who has such a stance that's completely different from President Clinton on so many different issues, and at the time, President Clinton had just undergone some very public scandals, how could you meet with that man? How could you even talk with him, let alone give him a tour of the stadium?" Reggie gave what I think was a perfect response. It's a response that American citizens under our last president and under our current president would be wise to consider. Reggie said, "It's not about the man. It's about the office. I respect the office of the President of the United States, and when the President of the United States comes to Lambeau Field, whether I agree or disagree with him politically, I will always gladly give the President of the United States a tour of the stadium." Well, I think this is what God is talking about here in Exodus chapter 20. God put our parents over us as authorities, just as Romans 13 tells us that God put our president over us as authorities. These positions are positions of authority, positions of honor placed there by God. And no matter how dishonorable our parents may be, we are still called to honor them because they are representatives of God. And I know for some of us that can be very difficult. I know some of your stories. I know how dishonorable your parents were at times. And as a parent, I know how dishonorable I am at times. And yet, it is still God who put our parents in charge, put us in charge. So we are still called to honor them. It's an important lesson for young children, even when it feels odd saying this, because the only young children in the room happen to be my own. But to disobey a parent, to dishonor a parent, is to dishonor God Himself, because He has placed them in that position. Although you'll notice in this fifth commandment, nowhere in this fifth commandment is the word obey. It's the word honor. There's a couple of different words for honor in the Old Testament. This particular word is kavod. It's actually the word that is used often of God. It's the word glorify. It almost says literally, "You shall glorify your father and mother." The word has to do with weight or importance or value. So it's saying value your parents, honor your parents, consider them weighty, consider them important. It's no coincidence that the word is used often of God, since we just spoke about delegated authority. Honor God, glorify God, honor your parents. But just because the word is honor and is not obey doesn't really get us off the hook for obedience. For one thing, several other passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament talk about obeying our parents. Really, this fifth commandment is kind of a summary of a lot of those commandments in the Old Testament of obedience. Now, I think oftentimes we look at passages like this and we come up with loopholes or caveats, as it were. You don't have to obey your parents when they tell you to do something contrary to God's law, or if they tell you to do something that's going to harm you. Well, yeah, but God isn't talking about those scenarios. Instead, He's saying quite pointedly, quite succinctly, honor your parents. Consider them weighty. Consider them important. It's not that God is ignoring those circumstances when rote obedience might not be the wisest or even the safest, but rather God is taking the emphasis to a higher level here than just obedience, because God is addressing the attitude of the heart. Even in those loophole scenarios that we talk about of times when our parents tell us to do something that we know is inappropriate, know is incorrect, know we shouldn't do, and we say, "I can't do that," even in those situations, we are still called to honor our parents and to say no in an honorable way, to communicate honor of them even when we can't perform what they ask. It is, after all, possible to obey our parents without honoring them. I love that little story that I've told many times about the little girl who was told by her parents or her teacher to sit down. She sat down, but then she told her parents defiantly, "I may be sitting, but I'm still standing on the inside." She was sitting, she was obeying, but she wasn't honoring. The attitude of honor is crucial here. It's not just about obedience. It's not just about follow through. God is talking about the right heart, the right attitude, not just the external appearance or external actions, but the internal thoughts and conditions of the heart. Are we seeking to honor our parents? We don't obey our parents simply because we are afraid of consequences. That's a good start when children are young, the whole notion of good child, bad child. But at the same point, the relationship needs to develop to the point that the child honors their parent because they understand they're honoring God. And they honor their parent because they understand that they are doing this from the correct attitude to respect the person that's in authority. Not just obey my parents so that they'll leave me alone. Not just obey my parents so that they'll go away. Not just obey my parents because then I don't have to worry about it. But no, obey because I want to honor them. I think God doesn't say obey here because it would be a whole lot easier to just obey than it is to honor. It's that attitude. Sitting on the outside while standing on the inside? No. Sitting on the inside and sitting on the outside. Honoring our parents. It's especially important to keep in mind in those areas when a parent is not obeyed. I already mentioned some extreme examples, but as a child grows older, the relationship changes. The relationship moves from one of strict obedience of the child to one of weighty advice and input, rather than thou must do this. No longer is a child at the age of 50 required to obey their parent without question who happens to be at the age of 75. That was true, though, when the child was 2 and the parent was 27. Then the child had to obey without any thought. But now, 48 years later, the parent and the child have had their relationship grow and develop to the point where the 50-year-old is wise enough and smart enough to go to his parent to get advice and to get input from that parent, understanding the wisdom that that 75-year-old has. But that advice is more, it's more like a reference than something that is definitively obeyed. And yet, regardless of what level of obedience is going on there, there is still a requirement for honor. Just as honor is not affected by how honorable or dishonorable that parent is, it's also not affected by age. Honor has no age limit. The parents are always in that position of honor, a position to be respected, almost like the office of president. Parents' lack of honor does not get us off the hook for honoring them, and neither does their age. At the age of 100, when the parent in many ways becomes more like a child and becomes very dependent upon their child, the relationship is still one where the child honors the parent. Now, again, that's not easy. That comes with all sorts of challenges as you're honoring parents. That can be quite difficult. It can be hard. It can be challenging as our parents grow older. My mother, for instance, has been struggling with some form of dementia for the last couple of years, and it can make it very difficult to talk to her on the phone. It's a lot of circular discussion. As you say one thing and 30 seconds later, she's asking the same question. Oftentimes it is like speaking with a young child on the phone. And yet that doesn't change the fact that she's my mother and that I am still called to honor her. I'm still called to call her on the phone and talk to her and honor her, because that's a way to honor her. It doesn't change any of that. I am commanded by God to honor, to respect my mother, to consider her important and weighty. I know many of you have either gone through that type of situation or are going through that type of situation right now with older parents. And it can be challenging. It can be easy to become frustrated, to become burned out, to think of all the time and the energy and the effort that they are taking up in our lives and to want to give up. You just have to go through all the nursing homes here in Roanoke, and you can see all sorts of people whose families have, in a sense, given up on them because they don't really want to take the time and the energy to honor their parents. It can be a real struggle to consider how we have to honor our father and mother when they're advanced in years, when their minds are going or gone, when they're like little children, and yet still the requirement is to honor our parents. Even if their actions later in life become dishonorable through the loss of mental capacity, or even when they have their mental capacity are dishonorable, still we must obey and honor our parents. So again, if God had simply said, obey your parents, we'd be able to dismiss this portion of the Old Testament, think we're old enough, this no longer applies to us. I'm not in that type of relationship anymore. But considering that person weighty, valuable, worthy of respect, worthy of time and energy because they're valuable to us, that can't be skipped over. There's no way to weasel ourselves out of the fifth commandment. We are called to honor our parents. In some cases, perhaps it is even this honor that leads our parents to Christ. That's not always the case, but it can be a powerful testimony before non-believing parents that we still honor them, still love them, still care for them. Many of us have had non-Christian parents, which adds a whole nother level to this idea of honoring, because many times they're very dishonorable, and yet still we are called to honor them, not because they're honorable, but because they've been given that authority over us by our God and Father. We honor our parents with our actions, with our attitudes. But God goes on here in the verse to give another reason for obedience. Again, this isn't true of all commandments, but with this particular commandment, he does give a reason. He says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Apostle Paul points out this is the first commandment with a promise. The other reasons given for following various commandments are just reasons. But this reason here, this reason speaks of reward. You should obey because then you will live long in the land. The Apostle Paul renders this into Greek as that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. There you have it. If you want to be an American for your whole life and never get kicked out of the country, you need to obey your parents. Then you will live long in this land. Well, not quite. But the idea is close there. The land that is referred to here in Exodus chapter 20 is obviously not the United States, but Israel. And remember that Israel is receiving the commandments prior to entering into the promised land. And they're being warned as they approach that land flowing with milk and honey, if you don't obey your parents, you won't live long in the promised land. Which is a peculiar statement. It appears as though God is saying that if Israel begins to dishonor their parents, that God will kick them out of the promised land. It sounds like God is saying that dishonoring their parents is the reason for the exile to Babylon and Assyria. I mean, are we reading this correctly? Yes, we are reading it correctly. The honoring of parents is that important, and this is exactly how it played out in Israel's history. And yet, to further understand this and how the exile was linked to this issue of honoring parents, we need to keep in mind that this statement about honoring parents has two larger implications. The first is that this commandment also implies the honoring of all authority, not just parents, not limiting the commandments specifically to parents in a strictly biological sense, but an authoritative sense, to those that we might call spiritual fathers and mothers. Israel is supposed to honor their parents, their elders, their leaders, any of those who have been called by God to lead and to direct Israel, which would include Moses, Aaron, any of the other elders, any of the other priests, any who are in positions of leadership and are older than them. Israel's being told by God, respect those who are over you. Yes, respect, honor, obey your parents, but it doesn't free you when you leave home. There are still other people, other authorities that you need to respect and honor. Just this week, I was out at the VA hospital visiting Earl Childress, and I was entering the building, and there were two older gentlemen out on the sidewalk having a little spat over something. I'm not sure what they were. But as I walked by, I heard the first man say to the other, "I can do whatever I want." We like to think that way. We like to think that I'm free. There's nobody who can tell me what to do. Don't you dare tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want. After all, I'm an adult now. And yet instead, we should have the attitude of the centurion in Jesus' day who is wise enough to say, I'm a man who has authority and I'm a man under authority. I have people under my charge, but I have people that are in charge over me that I am called to respect and to honor. Naturally, though, this would, of course, imply that those in authority should be striving to be honorable so that they can be followed. Many people hold office in the church, offices that are to be respected, but the people in those particular offices should be striving to be honorable. even those who aren't in official positions should be striving to be honorable, that they too would be listened to and honored for their wisdom as they grow older. If wisdom lies with the aged, as the Proverbs say, that wisdom should be lived out, should be applied to that person's own life, and then that wisdom should be taught to other people. Parents, elders, older members have a sacred responsibility entrusted to them to lead lives that are worth following, that are following an example. This is not an example of those who can't do, teach. No, this is an example of those who are doing should be teaching. The assumption is that those in the church, those in our lives who are teaching are also doing, striving to earn respect by how they live, by what they say, so that the rest of us in the church can follow them, can follow after those older saints as we look up to them and see how they are directing us. And in Israel, too, the people were called to respect their elders, their spiritual parents, and those spiritual parents were called to pursue and exhibit biblical wisdom. And so the command to honor father and mother extends to the larger church family, or in Israel's case, even to the larger nation, of following those authorities. And I think tied in with that, especially in Israel's case, there is a strong implication that the commandment also speaks of the importance of tradition. Honoring father and mother doesn't just mean submitting to authority, it certainly does, but in some cases I think it means submitting to the faith of our fathers, of submitting to the traditions, not in a negative sense of the word, like you would say, you know, having meatballs at potlucks is a tradition. I mean holding on to the gospel, that this is the faith that has been given us by our fathers. Our fathers and our mothers have taught us, from generations past, they have taught us of the importance of the gospel. I think of just the people that I have known here at Westminster, those older saints, those older elders. You know, Erskine Harton, I've heard stories about Elder Rhodes. Even among the women, we had Pastor Pringle and Pastor Pringle's wife. Jean Arrington, who tried to convert me every time I went and talked to her, always was sharing the gospel with me. Jerry Ludwig, who threatened to whack me with her cane if I ever preached a bad sermon. Those people have passed on this tradition. What we hold on most to them when we think about their memories is their love for God and their love for Scripture and their love for the church. And if we stray away from that tradition in this new age of liberation and freedom and we know better and our parents were just foolish and we don't have to follow after them, we begin not to just leave tradition, like we're no longer going to have meatballs, but we begin to fall away from the faith of our fathers. And we're no longer honoring the faith that has actually been passed on to us by past generations. I mean, this is what happened to Israel. They refused to obey their spiritual fathers, Moses and Aaron and the elders. In fact, this generation, and I think we often forget this, the generation receiving this Ten Commandment never entered the Promised Land. The people who are receiving this wandered in the desert for 40 years and died. Because they wouldn't listen to their elders when they said, go and take the land. Instead, they listened to the 10 evil spies, said no, and then the next day changed their minds and didn't listen to their elders when Moses and Aaron said, no, don't go. They did go, and they were destroyed in battle, wandered in the desert for 40 years. They all died. Eventually, later generations of Israelites would leave the traditions, would leave the faith of their fathers, changed gods even, as though that could be done, and went into exile. God has given us spiritual leaders in the form of pastors, parents, and elders, not just the office of elder, but elderly people. And yet, if we don't honor them, if we think that we know better, if we think that we could ignore them, the results are disastrous. We end up straying away from the gospel itself because we think we know better than our parents. We think we know better than past generations. They were just stuffy and old-fashioned. They didn't know. We know. But I think part of what he's saying here is, no, honor those people. Honor what they have passed on to you. Oftentimes when we talk about the application of this commandment, we talk kind of in a general sense, such as you need to obey the speed limit. You know, if you disobey your government's speed limit, if you speed, you could die, so therefore you don't live long in the land. And I think that that's true. That's an appropriate application of this text, that we need to submit and respect and honor our government and follow the laws that they have set up for us. And it could lead to an early death if we don't. And there is also, in fact, the possibility, though, that God could actually put to death early those that dishonor authority. If you remember, as we read through the Genevan Catechism on the Fifth Commandment, there were two questions that dealt specifically with that idea, that God often in his judgment actually puts people to death early, judges them because of their lack of honor, their complete disobedience and ignoring of authority. And I think there's a threat and there's a warning here that those who don't honor authority may die early. But I would also argue that there's an even more serious application of this text, that being that those who dishonor authority, those who don't honor parents, those who don't honor those that are placed into positions by God, those who rebel against the faith of our fathers, against the rule of faith, will never see the promised land. They'll never see it. They'll never see that city with foundations. They'll never see the eternal promised land. They will never enter there. For Israel, they were told, you're in the land, you're going to enter the land, but you won't stay there long. And I think as we understand what that promised land was pointing us to in the New Testament, pointing us to eternity, pointing us to heaven, the warning is for us to realize how seriously God takes our obedience to the authorities that he has set up. So seriously that he's not just telling us in the New Testament, you won't stay long in heaven if you don't obey authority, but I think he's telling us, you'll never get there. You will never enter authority. We cannot claim to love God. We cannot claim to love Christ. We cannot claim to believe in his death on our behalf and then ignore the authority that he has set over us. Dishonor the authority that he has set over us. It doesn't work that way. This commandment points out sin, as does all of the law. It points out what God has said. It points us to Christ. But then it also shows us how those in Christ will treat those who are in authority over them. We'll honor those because we understand that they're teaching us the truth. They're teaching us the words of eternal life. They're doing things which could potentially save our lives. We need to honor and respect them because of that. Perhaps it's possible as we read this scripture that we realize that we don't honor authority. Then we need to hear the warnings. Hear the warnings about the promised land. And ask ourselves, are we really bound for that promised land? Are we really bound for eternity? Or are we putting our spiritual lives at risk because we refuse to honor those over us? Are we putting our physical life at risk because we refuse to honor those over us? This commandment, one that we know well, one that's mentioned occasionally in the New Testament, is very familiar to us. But I would invite us to pause and to think about it, to think about our respect of others and how we're honoring authority. Repent of our failures, reaffirm our commitment to Christ, but then honor and respect those authorities that he has placed over us. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we confess that we are not a people who like to be under authority. We like to do things our way. We like to be the ones in charge. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us for dishonoring those you have placed over us. Cause us to recognize the value that they give us, that you have placed them into those positions for a reason, and that by submitting to them, respecting them, honoring them, we are honoring you. Oh, Heavenly Father, change our hearts. Change our hearts. Cause us to honor. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.